Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Lamed Hey. We're going to remind ourselves what we learned at the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis and actually go over it. And we'll start with the words Dechiosa Rav Dimi, which is about 7 lines up from the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. And we'll reread over what we learned at the end of yesterday's share and remind ourselves of what the machlokis is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So we begin Dechiosa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Israel, he said over Omar Chayave Misos Shokigin. If somebody is Chayav Misa for doing an act of Ritzicha. Rashi explains again that Shogigin means Shelo Hisru Behen. He did it intentionally. It doesn't mean that he did it accidentally. The same din would apply if he did it accidentally. But here we're talking about if the person killed somebody but without Hasro, without Edim warning him not to do this, and therefore he can't be Chayav Misa based in. Or the Chayave Malkios Shogigin, the same thing. A person did an action, a lav, for which he would be Chayav Malkios if he had been previously warned. But he wasn't warned, so he's not going to be Chayav Malkios. That's what it means, Malkios Shogigin. He's Chayav Malkios for the action that he did, but he did it without Hasra, and therefore he's not Chayav Malkios. So we're dealing here with a person who did either an action of Misa, for which he normally would be Chayav Misas based in, if he had been warned, but he wasn't warned, or he did an action for which he normally would be Chayav Malkios, if he had been warned, but he wasn't warned, and he did that action along with Vidavar Acher. As Rashi explains, he also did something that would obligate him into a monetary penalty, Mamon. V'yakula milsa koi klomer chayavi misa shogin umamon, o chayavi maokio shogin umamon. So again, he did either an action of misa plus an action of financial liability at the same time, or he did an action which would chayavi maokios if he'd been warned, but he wasn't, and a financial penalty at the same time. And this is the machlokis that we had in yesterday's share, Rav Yochanan Amar Chayev. In this situation, Rav Yochanan says, since you're not giving him Misa, you're not giving him Malkus, because, in fact, he wasn't given Hasra, so therefore, you do pay the financial liability. You are obligated to pay the financial damage that you caused, Chayev. However, Reish Lakish says, even in this situation, is still potter. Reish Lakish Amar potter. Now, what's the understanding? Rav Yochanan Amar Chayev, Rav Yochanan says, Yechayev over here because the holo is Rubei. There was no hasra given for the action of Misa, the action of Malkios that you had done, and therefore you're chayev to pay the monetary value. Reish Lakish Amar potter, he says, no. Kiven de ilu is Rubei potter, kilo is Rubei nami potter. Reish Lakish says, no. Since if you had been warned, you would have been exempt from the financial liability. So here too, even though you weren't warned, you're still exempt from the financial liability. This is the machlokas we have between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish from yesterday's shiur, which we now explained again. Now, we have two different versions. Either first Reish Lakish now asks Rav Yochanan a question, or it will be either Rav Yochanan asks Reish Lakish a question. It will be the same shaka vataria back and forth, depending on the perspective. So, first we start off with Reish Lakish questioning Rav Yochanan. This is new Gemara now, so we pick up. Eisei Reish Lakish to Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan the following. The pasuk tells us that if a Rachman al-Hassan, iminatsu anashim, if two men were arguing with each other, and the nagfu isha hara, the yatsu yaladeha. So if the two men were arguing and they were fighting and they hit a pregnant woman and she never loses her children, she miscarries. And then it says, Velo ye'ason, anoshi anesh. So then in that situation, if there is no ason, which we'll understand differently, Reish Lakish will understand what it means in lo ye'ason differently than Rav Yochanan. So according to Reish Lakish, he questions Rav Yochanan and he says, the pasuk says, in lo yason, then the nosan biflilim. Then you're going to have anoshi anesh, that you're going to have to go and pay kasher yoshis lo balu isha, the nosan biflilim. You're going to have to pay a monetary damage. So Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, and we turn to Lamed Hei Yomad Aleph, what does it mean? In lo yason, doesn't it mean my lav oson mamish? Doesn't it mean that there was no death? In other words, if the woman wasn't killed, as Rashi says in the top Rashi, im lo me so isha, so then anosh yonesh yonesh hanogev bidme vlados. In the situation where the man Reuven hit the pregnant woman and he didn't kill her, so then in that situation he's obligated to pay the value of the miscarried children. He plays what's called dme vlados. Implication being, Rashi says, ha im meisa, if in fact he had killed the woman, lo yonesh, then he wouldn't have to pay for the miscarried children. And this, Rashi says, and here's the point that Reish Lakish is asking Rav Yochanan, v'afilu lo hisrubo, even if there was no hasra, the fact that the woman had an ason, if she dies, so then there is no payment for the children. So here you have the capital crime without hasra, and you see that the pasuk says, in this situation, im ason yihyeh, then Lo, he doesn't have to pay the monetary value and the kashler of Yochanan. This is the kashler of Yochanan. So Rabbi Shlakish understands the word imason yet to mean if the woman is actually killed. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, I don't understand it that way. Lo, it's a din ason. If they were to carry out a capital punishment on the man, in other words, if they gave hasra to the man, that if you go and throw that blow and you go and kill that woman, so then you're going to get misas based, and only then is there no monetary payment. But if they didn't have a din of ason, in other words, if there was no hasra, then there would still be a financial penalty that would have to be paid. So that's how Rabbi Yochanan says the pasuk should be understood, different than Reish Lakish understands the pasuk ason mamish versus din ason, meaning that there had to have been a potential for actually getting misa because of hasra in order for there to be no financial penalty. But if there was no hasra, there would be a financial penalty. Now we flip it around. Now we just ask it the other way around. Ikud the Amre, that it was Rabbi Yochanan that asked Reish Lakish. Esa Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. He understands the pasuk v'lo yason anosh yanesh. If there was no ason, so then there's a financial penalty. Kasher yeshis lo balo yishot v'nosan biflilim. Then there is a financial penalty. So then he understands it. What does it mean v'lo yason? Doesn't it mean my lav din ason? Doesn't it mean that there was hasra and only if there's hasra and potential capital punishment din ason? Only then is there no financial penalty. But if there was no hasra, then there is in fact still going to be a financial penalty. Isn't that the way you're supposed to understand it, Rabbi Yochanan? And therefore, it's a kasha on you, Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish is law. No, again, ason means lo yason. It means ason mamish. No, it means if the woman was killed, regardless of whether there was hasra or whether there wasn't hasra, there is no financial penalty. So this is again is the machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Amar Rava. Rava says, really, does Rabbi Yochanan hold like he does that if there is no din of ason, so then there is a financial penalty? That's not true. I'll show you. Rabbi Yochanan, in fact, agrees with Reish Lakish that even when there is no din of ason, he agrees that there is no financial penalty just because it was an act of misa bishkaga. So, therefore, in this situation, there is no financial penalty, even though there is no din of ason. And I'll show you over since the following. Does anybody really hold, like you're saying, Rabbi Yochanan does, that there would be a financial penalty in a situation where there was no hasra? They learned in the base medrash of Chizkiyah the following. The pasuk tells us, Maki Adam, Behema. What are these two psukim? So Rashi brings down. Rashi is found on the last of the wide lines, all the way towards the top. And he says, Maka Behema Yishalmena. It says that if you go and hit a Behema, in other words, you go and damage the Behema, Yishalmena. You have to pay for the damage that you did to the animal. So if you go and are Maki Behema Yishalmena. Umaki Odom lo yishalem elo yumas. As opposed to, if you go and kill a person, so then there is no financial penalty that you pay. You don't pay money, but you're chayiv misa. Now, if you hit the behema and you kill it, you're chayiv to go and pay the damages for the animal. But if you hit a person and you kill him, you're not chayiv to pay the financial penalty because you're going to be chayiv with your life. Now, ma make behema, when it comes to hitting the behema, the Gemara says, Lo chilakto, we don't make any distinction as to how you kill the behema. Lo chilakto bo bein shogim b'memezid. Whether you kill the behema intentionally or unintentionally, doesn't make any difference. Whether you kill the behema bein miskavein l'sheino miskavein, whether you had intention to kill the behema or you had intention to hit another behema, makes no difference. You're chayev, or the muad liolam. A man is always obligated, so it doesn't make any difference. If you cause damage to the animal, so you are going to have to pay for it, regardless of whether it was intentional, unintentional, whether you did it with intention for that animal or for a different animal, bein derech yiridah or derech aliyah, whether you did it with an upward blow or a downward blow, this, as Rashi points out, is mishum degabe golus, in regards to golus, when you accidentally killed a person, so the horig b'shogeg, if you accidentally killed another person, there's a difference, ikoh chiluk, bein derech yiridah, for which you would be chayiv golus for, versus derech aliyah, which you would not be chayiv for, based upon the psukim, dechsiv, vayipol olav, achipol kiderech nefila. It has to be in a downward blow, in a downward action. So therefore, it makes no difference with the animal, however you do it. The bottom line is, whether you killed him in any way whatsoever, if you kill this animal, we don't make any chiluk. We don't make any distinction and say, oh, you're potter in this situation, you're chayv in that situation. No, across the board, under all circumstances, you have to pay, so too. We make a comparison. of Gzeri Shava between Mak Adam to Mak Behema, so too, Af Maki Adam. We don't make any difference. We don't make a distinction. If you killed another person, you're always going to be Patur Ein Chiluk. Lo Tachlok, we don't make a Chiluk. Bain, whether you went and killed Lo Tachlok Bo Bain, Bishogeg Bain Bemezid, whether you killed the person with Hasra, or you didn't kill the person with Hasra. Bein miskabin, l'shena miskabin, whether you intended to kill this person or you intended to kill another person, or you didn't even intend to go and kill the person. Bein derech yirida, derech aliya, we don't make any distinction. Lo chilakta, lo tachlo, whether you did it with an upward type of hakah or a downward type of hakah. We don't make a chiluk l'chayev u'mamo. Under no circumstances are you chayev to go and pay mamo. We don't distinguish. And in fact, everybody agrees. That's what the Vei Chizkiya says. Elo lepotro mamon. So how can you tell me that Rav Yochanan disagrees with this? It seems that everybody agrees with the Tana of the Vei Chizkiya, and therefore you are wrong, Rav Dimi, in saying that Rav Yochanan disagrees with the Reish Lakish in this regard. So that which we started the shiur today, we're now saying is wrong. So what is the chiluk between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So Elok Yosef Ravid, when Ravid came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said over the following is the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Amar, he said, Chayave miso shogegin. When you're dealing over here with a person who committed an act of murder but didn't have hasra, or even if he committed an act of murder by accident, so then kulei alma lo pligi de peturin. As we just learned from the Devei Rav Chizkiya, in the Beis Medrash of Chizkiya, they learned that in this situation, everybody agreed you don't pay financial damages. You are committing an act which, if there had been hasra, you'd be chayv misa. So even if there isn't hasra, even if you did it accidentally, there would be no chiyav on mamon. So what do we argue about? Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish certainly have a machlokes. Keep pligi. Where do they argue? On the second part, on the chayv malka shogin, the dover acher. They argue not on the Misa part, that they all agree, that if you did an action that would be Chayav Misa, even though in this situation you're not Chayav Misa, so then there is no financial penalty. They all agree to that. But they argue, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish argue, if you did an action for which you would normally be Chayav Malkus if you were given Hasra, but here you're not Chayav Malkus because you weren't given Hasra, so then in this situation, if you did this simultaneously with Dover Acher, with a financial penalty action, so then Rav Yochanan Amar Chayav, he says, in that situation that you would be chayav to pay the financial penalty because you're not chayav malkus. However, he says, chayave misos iskish, chayave malkius lo iskish. That's because he says that we say the maka adam, maka behema, that only goes in regards to the action of misa. And that's why Rav Yochanan agrees with Reish Lakish in regards to misa. Even if you didn't get hasra, there would be no financial penalty. But he doesn't extend it to the situation of malkus, where you hit a person, let's say, and there's a financial penalty in that situation. If you're chayav malkus, he says, then you don't have the financial penalty. But if you're not actually chayav malkus, then Rav Yochanan says you do pay the financial penalty. And Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish says, no, here too, Potter, in this situation, the fact that you did an action that would be chayav malkus under some situations makes you Potter in the situations of your chayav malkus from having to pay, so too, even if you're not chayav the actual malkus, you're still potter from paying the financial liability. And he says, this is because beferish ripsa Torah chayav malkus chayav misa, because the Torah actually tells you to compare misa and malkus. So in a situation where everybody agrees by misa, even if you're not chayav misa, that you don't pay the financial penalty, Reish Lakish says the Torah tells us beferish to say the same thing by malkus. So the obvious question is, heichon ripsa Torah? Where does the Torah tell us this? The Reish Lakish says that the Torah tells us that we compare misa and malkus. So we have two different opinions. Omar Abaye says it's a gzeir shava of asya rasha rasha. What is the gzeir shava? So Rashi tells us the dibur maska asya rasha rasha. Ne'amar b'chayvi misos asher hu rasha lomus. It uses the lashon of asher rasha lomus in regards to a chiyav misa, and it also says in regards to malkius, and emma chayvi malkius, v'yo im bin hakos harosha. So we have a gzeir shava that tells us to go compare misa and malkius. That's Abaye's answer. And therefore, that's where the Torah is ribsa, that we make the same din. Even though you're not chayv malkius, but you did an action which under certain circumstances, such as if you got hasra, will be a chiyav malkius. Reish Lakish says you're potter from paying the financial liability. Here's where the Torah rips a Torah because of the Zerishava, Rasha, Rasha. Rav has a different Zerishava. Rav Omar, it's the following Zerishava. Asya, Make, Make. What is this Zerishava? So Rashi tells us, the Malkus Nami Iskish Lamake Behema. That not only do we have in the Torah Maki Oda, Make Behema as the Zerishava, but we also have by Behema, it says Make Behema, and it says also by Malkius, a lotion of Makkah. But he says, V'lo m'gzeirah shavah, the chayvim isis shafina, but not from the actual gzeirah shavah that we had before, of Makkah, Odo, Makkah, Behema, but from a different gzeirah shavah of Makkah, Makkah. Now, what is that? So, Amalei Rapapa l'Rava. So, Rapapa says to Rava, which Makkah, Makkah, gzeirah shavah are you suggesting to compare Malkios to Makkah, Behema? If you're going to tell me, hey, Makkah, which one is it? Ilema, Umakeh Behema Yishalmena, Umakeh Odom Yumos. If it's from that same pasuk which says, Umakeh Behema Yishalmena, and Umakeh Odom Yumos, the original Gzeir Shava that we had, so then, hi, Bekotla Ksiv. That's talking about, well, you killed the person, not talking about Malkios. So that can't be the Gzeir Shava. The original Gzeir Shava that we had can't be the Gzeir Shava. Elo, which Gzeir Shava is it? Elo, hi, Makkeh. You're going to tell me, it refers to the following pasuk where it says umake nefesh behema yishalmena nefesh tachas nefesh. If you go and hit a behema and kill it, so then you have to pay nefesh tachas nefesh, which of course doesn't mean that you get killed, but it means that you pay the life of that animal. In other words, you pay the financial value of that animal. So that's where we see by make behema usamichle, and then right next to it in the next pasuk it says the ish ki tein mum bami. So if a man were to go and wound his fellow man, kasher osa kein yosalo, just like he did, you have to do to him. Now again, it doesn't mean that if he broke his arm, so you have to go break his arm. It means you pay the financial liability that you caused him by having a broken arm. The nezit sar ripu shevis and boshes. So in that situation, you pay the financial liability. Ah, as Rashi points out, this malkis is lav makoksiv. It uses the lashon of that he hit him, right? But it's a lashon of makkah, but not using the word makkah. It says vish ki tein mum ba'amiso. So the Gemara says v'hai lav makkehi. This doesn't use the lashon of makkah. Yes, it's referring to hitting somebody, but you can't learn anything from here. It's not an actual gzeir shava. And as Rashi points out, umay asya makkah makkah to come a rubber. What is this gzeir shava of makkah makkah? Now we do have at times gzeir shava doesn't have to be the same word. We have the famous Gzeir Shava, Uva V'yotza. So it's not the same exact word, and therefore, even if it's not the same word, it could be Gzeir Shava. But here, still the question is, you don't do that unless you have no choice. And here we're saying, why is this Gzeir Shava Makkah Makkah? It doesn't use the word Makkah. It says, Ki Tein Mum Bamiso. So that's essentially what Rava answers. I know in Hakor, Hakor, Karinam. He says, yeah, this is Hakor, Hakor. Rashi says, Umum Aide Hakor. Who need time. So it really is a Gzeir Shava, even though it doesn't use the same lashon of Makkah Makkah. Just like we have Uva HaKohen, V'yotza HaKohen, so too we can have over here the word of Ki Tein Mum, so that would be equivalent to Makkah. Where it says, but even if you wanted to say that, this is a valid Gzeir Shava. V'aki Kisiv B'chova B'chaveru Kisiv. But this is talking about you're damaging your friend. And the pasuk says, Kashuosa Keni Yosilo, you actually pay money and you don't get makis over here. So this can't be the proof for Rava. So when it says you're right, in Eino Inyan Lehakor Shiyeshbo Shava Pruta, you're right. If you did damages that were worth the Shava Pruta, so then you pay the financial penalty and you don't get Malkis. So what do we do the pasuk for? This Gzeira Shava. So Rava would say, Tineu Inyan Lehakor Shiyeshbo Shava Pruta, when there is no financial penalty, let's say he did damages that were slight, but he still hit his friend, so in this situation, where there was no hasra, he still wouldn't pay any financial damages. The Gemara says the obvious question is, we turn to Lamed Hey Amid Beis, but then there's no financial damages. So how can you tell us over here that this is the paradigm to teach us that whether you get Malkus or not, there's no financial penalty? That doesn't occur over here. There is no financial penalty if you're telling me that it was a Makkah that was less than a Shavu Pruta, so that's why you get Malkus. And if you didn't get Asura, you wouldn't get Malkus, but then there's no financial penalty. So he says, no, Lo Tzricha, we need it for the following situation. He gave him a blow that was less than a Shava Pruta from the blow point of view. So from the Malkus point of view, in this situation, he would get Malkus if there was Asura, but he wouldn't get Malkus if there's no Asura. But simultaneously, while he gave him the blow, he also ripped his shirt. The Bahadeh Demachye, as he hit him, he ripped the silk shirt that he was wearing or some silk that he owned, so he ripped that simultaneously. So here there would be financial penalty, even though there was no financial penalty for the maka itself, the blow, but there is financial penalty for the damage that he did at the same time. And in this situation, if there was no hasra, so then Reish Lakish says, here's the source, according to Rava, this is the source for Reish Lakish Hashita, that even when you don't go and actually have Malkus, nevertheless, they're still potter from the financial penalty. As Rashi says very clearly, in Dibra Matzah, V'hadi demachia, Koresh, Yiroi, V'chule, Klomar, V'yashminon, the loke mishum chavola, that you would get malchus because of the chavola, upotumi tashlumi kriya, but you wouldn't have to pay the tashlumi kriya in that situation, and this is true, lo shnoi hisruba, lo shnoi lo hisruba, whether he was given a warning, and therefore gets malchus, or even if he's not given the warning and he doesn't get malchus, in that situation with low hisru, low loke, nevertheless, in both cases, potimi tashlumin, meyakesha, the low tachlok. So therefore, we say the hekesh over here by the behema, we don't make any distinction. So too by the blow to a human being, even though it's not a fatal blow, it's just a malchus type of a blow, low tachlok. We don't make any distinction. That's Rava's explanation for Eretz Ribsa Torah, according to Reish Lakish. So that concludes the machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Now we go back to the Tana Dvei Chizkia that we learned earlier in the shir. Amalei Rav Chiya l'Rava, Rav Chiya said to Rava, according to the Tana Dvei Chizkia, according to that sheet of the Tana Dvei Chizkia that says that the paradigm is Maki Adam Maki Behema, everybody agrees that if it's a capital crime that you did, with or without Asra, your potter, just like we said, lo tachlok, we don't make a chilek by maka behema. However you hit the behema, you're still going to be chayiv over there in that situation for killing the behema, so you have to pay no matter what. So too by the adam, whether you are warned or whether you're not warned, we don't make a chilek, and you're not going to have to pay the financial liability. That was the gzeirah shava, makib adam, makib behema of Devei Chizkia. So, Rav Chiya asked to Rava, mimai de bechol ksiv, how do we know that this was on a weekday, and therefore there is not machlokus over here between a shogeg or a mazid type of an action? In other words, if you were to hit the animal on a weekday, so there's no issue of chilul Shabbos, there would be kom lemi derabba minei, and that's why, in fact, your chayiv, whether you did it intentionally or whether you did it unintentionally, so it's only on a weekday that there's a difference. Maybe the pasuk is talking about on Shabbos. In that situation, the behema gufa ika lifluge. Then even by the behema, if you went and killed the behema on Shabbos, so then you'd be part of the bay for the behema. There would be a chiluk because you'd be chayiv for Shabbos. Komlemi the rabbine. As opposed to if you did it accidentally, so then there wouldn't be a komlemi the rabbine, and you would in fact be chayiv. So how do you know this pasuk by makab behema yishalmena is talking about a weekday? Maybe it's talking about Shabbos, and there is a chiluk. So he says, no, don't think that for a second. Also, kedaitoch. Why is that? Because the pasuk says, umaki behemi shalmena, umaki adam yomus. That's the whole pasuk. The pasuk says that if you hit the behema, or if you hit the adam, so by the behema you have to pay, and by the adam you are given a capital crime. If you kill a person, you get in capital punishment. If you kill the behema, you have to pay a financial penalty. Now, the pasuk compares it to hechidami. Idalo asru be, if there was no hasra, Maki Odom Amayomos, then by the person there wouldn't be Misa. You only get Misa's based in it, this Asra. So obviously, Elopshito, the Asube. So obviously, the Maki Odom Yumas part is talking about with its Asra. So too, it must be V Bishabis, Maki Behemi Shalmena. So then, if this occurred on Shabbos, so then by the Maki Behema, Yishalmena, would you pay? No, you wouldn't pay in that situation. It would be Kom Lemi the Rabbimine, and you wouldn't pay. There was Hasra, so therefore you wouldn't pay in that situation. So obviously it can't be talking about Shabbos. Lo sokadaita that it's talking about Shabbos. El olav b'chol, it's talking about on a weekday, and therefore this is a good drasha that the Devei Chizkia learned. Now the Gemara goes back to the opinion that we had of Rabba. Rabba's understanding of Rav Meir that we learned in yesterday's shiur was as follows. Amalei Rapapa liAbaye, Rapapa says to Abaye, in regards to Rabba Shita, le Rabba, who said, what was Rabba Shita explaining Rav Meir? He said that even though Rav Meir normally does hold Kom Lemi the Rabbani by Misa, and that if you're Chayiv Misa, then you don't have to pay the financial penalties, as opposed to by Kares and financial penalty, or by a malchus, a financial penalty, Rav Meir says you pay both because it's two separate things. That was Rabba's understanding. And he said, yes, by Misa, you don't pay the financial penalty. Even Rav Meir agrees by Misa, if you chayv a capital crime, then you don't pay the financial penalty because of coming with Rabbanei. But nevertheless, he said that by Knas, you do pay. Even though there's Misa and a Knas, you do pay because Chidishu Shechitcha Torah B'Knas, the Avogad the Mikto Mashalim. And here we do apply the principle that a Chidish is going to make you pay the financial penalty of the chiddush, the knas, even though you chayiv misa. So this is the exception to Rav Meir's rule that by komlei with rabbanei by misa, we don't pay the financial penalty, except if it's the knas, then you do pay the financial penalty. That was Rabba's explanation of Rav Meir. So according to Rapapa asked to Abaye, Li Rabba the Omar, Khidushu Shikisha Torah Biknas, Rapal Gavdi Mikdom Shalin, there is no coming to the Rabbi by Knas and Nisa's based in. So then, according to that, Mas Nisin, our Mishnah, who is the author of our Mishnah? Kiman Mokim Law. Our Mishnah, which says that by the person who Rahman al-Islam goes and assaults his sister, so then there is Knas in our Mishnah. She does receive Knas. But the Mishnah in Makkah said that the person who Rahman al-Islam sleeps with his sister gets Malkus, and there is no Knas. So how did we reconcile that? So you're going to tell us, Iker Rav Meir, if you're going to tell me that we reconcile the Mishnah the way Rav Meir reconciled it, that you can get both the Malkus and the Mamun penalty, so then, if you want to reconcile the Mishnayos in that way, so then, Kasha Bito. So then there's a problem with the next Mishnah, which we're going to learn in tomorrow's year, that if a person, Rahman al-Islam, goes and assaults his daughter, so then there is no Knas, but because you chayv misas, that's misas based, and not kares, when you have relations with Rahman al-Islam with your daughter. So in that situation, Rav Meir should say that, no, there should be Knas there, but the Mishnah says that there is no Knas. So it can't be Rav Meir. If you're going to tell me that he reconciles it, Ikrev Nechunya ben Akana, it goes in accord with the opinion of Nechunya ben Akana. Remember, we learned Nechunya ben Akana holds, just like Rav Meir, that you can have both Mamon and the Malkus. So then you have the problem, because Nechunya ben Akana says that a woman who Rahman al-Islam assaults his sister doesn't pay the Knas. Kasha Choso. Because Rav Nechunya ben Akana says, by Kares and Knas, you don't pay the Knas, you get Kares. So that can't be the way to reconcile it. And finally, if you want to say Iker of Yitzhak, what was Rav Yitzhak's understanding of the reconciliation between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Makkos? Rav Yitzhak's Shita was that whenever you have a Kares penalty, you don't get Malkus. So then in that situation, you'd have a problem with Kasha Mamzeris. Why did our Mishnah say that if a person, Rachman Litzlan, goes and assaults a Mamzeris, so then in that situation, he would pay the Knas. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak, well, here there's no Isser of Kares, so there should be an Isser of Malkus. So why would he have to pay the Knas in that situation? The act of assaulting the Mamzeres would be a Chiyuv of Malkus, not Kares, and therefore you shouldn't have to pay the fine. But our Mishnah said you pay the Knas. So we have no way to reconcile, according to Rabbah, the two Mishnayos. So Gemara says, no, we could still answer it in a partial way. Hanicha, everything does work out well according to Rabbah's understanding of Rav Meir. If you say that Rabbah also holds like Rav Yochanan, what is Rav Yochanan's opinion? That only when you actually get the punishment of Malkus, you were warned and you get Malkus, then you're potter. So if you want to hold like Rav Yochanan, that in the situation where you didn't get the Malkus, you weren't given warning, then you do pay the punishment, then it works out very well. So Rabbah would also explain our Mishnah the way Rav Yochanan did, that in our Mishnah there was no Hasra, and therefore if there's no Hasra, that's why our Mishnah said that if you assaulted all of those women for which you didn't get Hasra for, there would be a financial penalty. But if you always like Rav Yitzchak, then you wouldn't get a financial penalty in that situation, even though you didn't get the Malkus. How would he reconcile the Mishnayos? So when it says, Taki, you're right, Al-Karchach, you must say that Rabbah, Kirav Yochanan, Sirule, Rabbah has to hold the Rav Yochanan. That's how we could reconcile everything. You can't reconcile it if he holds like Reish Lakish. More questions, this and says, Amli Rav Masa L'Abayi, Rav Masa to Abayi, but L'Reish Lakish, the Amr B'Feirish Rib Satorah, Chayavi Malkius, Chayavi Misos, but according to the whole understanding that we just had about Reish Lakish, either the understanding that Abayi had, or the understanding that Rava had, the different Gzeirah Shavah, Russia, or Makeh. So, according to Reish Lakish, who says that even though you didn't get the Malkus, you would be potter still from the Knas, then Man Tana, who would be the author, the Tana, the Poligale, the Rav Nechunya ben Akana, who would be the Tana that argues with Rav Nechunya ben Akana, who says that if you're Chayev Kares, you in fact are not going to be Chayev for the monetary penalty. Now, the Mishnah in Shavuos, as clearly Rashi says in Dibra Maskul, Man Tana de Poli, Gerev Yechunya, there is a Tana that disagrees with that. And this is in the case where the Tana who argues with Yechunya ben Akana says, Umechayev Tashlumim Bechayev Krisus, that you do pay a financial liability even though you chayev Kares. What's the case there? Kigon, Hayde Shavuos, in the Gemara in Shavuos on Daf Lamed Gimel, it says, Shehid Godish Yom Kippurin, if a person goes and lights a stack of a straw, a Godish, on Yom Kippurim, so you chayev because of Yom Kippur, because that's an Isser of Kares, and you chayev for the financial penalty. That's what the Tana Yeshuas tells us. Now, that's not like Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana. Rabbi Nachunya Akana says that if you're chayev kares, then you would be parted from paying. So there's a Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana. But according to Reish Lakish, so then we have a problem. Because according to Reish Lakish, even when you don't actually get malchus, so if they gave you hasra, so then instead of getting kares, you would get malchus, so then you would be parter from getting the financial liability. So even if you don't get malchus, they didn't give you hasra, Reish Lakish says, you're still parter from the financial liability. So that's not what the Tana argues when Nechunim Menachana says. He says, you're chayiv. So Rabbi Yochanan has no problem, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that only if you get malchus, then you're parter. If you don't get malchus, then you're chayiv. But Reish Lakish says, whether you got hasra and got malchus, or whether you didn't get hasra and you don't get malchus, you're still going to be parter. So who would he say, according to his shita, is the Tana that argues with Chaim Menachana? So Gemara answers, it could be either Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yitzchak. It could be one of these two possibilities. The Tana that argues with Chaim Menachana over there in Shavuos and says that Yechayev for the Gaddish would either be Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Yitzchak. If it's Rabbi Meir, that's because Rabbi Meir holds that you can be Loka and Mishalim. So even though Reish Lakish says that whether you're Loka or not, you would normally be exempt. But Rav Meir says, no, you can get both. So Loka and Mishalim, so therefore, it could be Rav Meir. Alternatively, it could be Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says that you don't get Malkis for a Koris obligation. So therefore, there is no issue over here of Malkis. So that's how you'd have to explain Reish Lakish's understanding of the Tana that argues with the Chaim Menachana. It would have to be either Rav Meir or Rav Yitzchak. So it's still a relatively short shiur, so instead of stopping at this point, we'll go read this next brisa, and we'll start discussing the first part of this brisa today, and we'll leave the rest of the discussion of the brisa tomorrow. Tana Rabbanon, we begin at the two dots, Tana Rabbanon, Arayos, Ushenios, Larayos. Now, we'll have to explain in a moment what it means. Until now, in Yevamos, we learned that the Arayos were the women that were forbidden by Torah law, Daraisa, not to have relations with them. And the Shnias Larayas, we understood in Yevamos, the very first mission that we learned in Yevamos, so we talked about the Shnias Larayas, are women that were very similar to the women that were prohibited in the Torah. And the rabbis came along and said, for these women as well, you don't do Yibam. Instead, you do Chalitza, because they're too similar to the women that were Isser Daraisa. Without getting into those details, that's how we translated Arayas and Shnias Larayas previously. But we're going to see a different understanding of that over here. So right now, we'll just leave the words, the Arayas and Shnias Larayas. The Braisa tells us, Ein Lohem Knas. Rechmon Lutzlan, if somebody were to assault one of these women, there is no din of Knas. If they were a Nara, they wouldn't be entitled to the fine for having been assaulted. And if they were a mafuta, if they were a woman who was seduced, so they likewise wouldn't be the 50 shekel. There's a 50 shekel penalty for both for a woman who was assaulted and a woman who was seduced. Likewise, if you were to go and have relations with Hamamenes, if a woman had been married midrabbanan and she leaves that marriage, so then there is no din over here of a knas as well. Ein lo knas v'lo pita. She doesn't have the knas for an anusa or the knas for a mafuta. Tosus brings down in Dibra Masch, lo knas lo pita. He says, there are those that are goris over here, instead of lo knas, is the goris v'lo onus. And that reasoning is because Mishum de Pitu Nami Knasu. So to say Ein Lo Knas for an onus and then Velo Pitu, it's also Ein Lo Knas for onus and Ein Lo Knas for Pitu. So some just the goris over here, Ein Lo Onus, Velo Pitu, to say both of them don't have a Knas. Then he brings down that the Ri says, no, our Girs is correct because it makes more sense to call the onus Knas and the Pitu we call Pitu. Okay, fine. In any event, this woman also, it was a mimamenes, so ein lo knas lo pitur. The Braisa continues, says, a woman who's an islandess, a woman who can't have children, ein lo lo knas lo pitur. Likewise, doesn't have knas or pitur. There's no din of ones, no din of mefate. And likewise, vayotzeis mishum shemra, if a woman was accused of not being a basula, and there are witnesses to say that never she wasn't a basula, so in this situation, ein lo knas lo pitur. This woman doesn't have knas or pitur if she's assaulted as well. There is no din of ones or mefata in this situation. That's the brisa. Now, it's a very enigmatic brisa. We'll start off, we'll only explain the first part now, we'll say the rest of the brisa for tomorrow. So we start off the Gemara in saying, what does it mean over here in the brisa when it says there's no ones or mefata for arayos and shnios larayos? My arayos or my shnios larayos? What does that mean? Ilei marayos. Are we going to tell me that arayos means that we turn to lamed vav and aleph? Like we understood it in Yevamos, arayos means arayos mamish, isurim deraisa, women that you're forbidden to go and have relations with on a deraisa level. And shnios, larayos, that means, shnios means midivrei sofer, those are similar to the din deraisa, but not chayiv on a deraisa level. But the rabbi said these are too close together, and we'll make them isur midirabanan. So shnios means midirei sofrim. So then the Gemara says, given the deraisa chazulei amayin leknas. So wait a second. If it's only an isur derabanan that you're not allowed to have relations with them, so if somebody goes and assaults such a woman, why do we say she's not entitled to a knas midiraisa? She is entitled to a knas. So we're not going to answer and explain that arayis means deraisa and shnios means midirabanan. So Gemara says, instead, we'll understand this b'raith as follows. El arayis means chayavi misas beistin. Arayis are those punishments for arayis, for relationships, that would be a misas beistin isur, such as, for example, bito. And shnios l'arayis doesn't mean midirabbanan, it means those isurim, such as eishes achiv, or achus ishto, chayavi krisus. Those would be the arayis, but you, quote, only get karis for them. But that would imply that only arayis, the Raisa Mises Basin, Shnios, Mises Kares, so those would be, in that situation, exempt from having to pay the Knas. But Avo Chai V'Lavim, if a person would have a relationship with somebody who there's only a Lav involved in that relationship, Yesh Lahem Knas, they would be entitled Knas, and who's the author of our Mishnah, Mani? This goes like the opinion that we had last week of Shimon HaTimni. Shimon HaTimni, he, Shimon HaTimni had said that when it says v'lo yeh li'isha, that the woman shall be his wife, v'lo yeh li'isha, so that meant that it had to be potential for the Kedushin to be chal. And yes, while there's a lav here, the Kedushin are chal. The person has relations, let's say, with the mamzeris, so there's a lav, but the Kedushin are chal with the mamzeris. So in this situation, there would be a knas. That's Shimon HaTimni's opinion. Alternatively, you could say that arayis means chayvi misas basin v'chayavi krisos. No, we can learn the braisa that when it says arayis, that includes not only misas basin, but it also include the women who have been violated for an issur of kares. So they're called arayis. And the shnios, that refers to chayavi lavin, not midirabbanans, but it refers to anybody who's prohibited via a lav to have married, and these women, if you assaulted them, there wouldn't be a knas. And who then is the author of the Mishnah that says, even for chayvi lavim, there is no knas? Mani, this is the opinion. We also learned last week, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasihi. This is the opinion of Shimon ben Menasihi, says that not only does it have to be Losia Leisha, it has to be somebody that can not only the Kedushin be Chal, but the Kedushin have to be allowed. It has to be Lechat Chila, a woman that you're allowed to marry. And as opposed to Shimon HaTimni, who says that this would apply to Chayvi Lavim, Shimon Manasseh says that it doesn't apply to Chayvi Lavim. It has to be somebody that would be a perfectly Lechat Chila Dika marriage, and that you're not forced to divorce them because of Chayvi Lavim, even though the Kedushin of Chal says no, that wouldn't apply over here. Rosh Hashanah Manasseh would be the one that says that even for Chayvi Lavim, there would be no Knas. It's only for women that it would be a perfectly good Lechatchila marriage that there is a din of Knas. So that's how we explain the first part of the Braisa, Arayus and Shnius L'Arayus. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up over here and we'll continue to explain the rest of this Braisa. With this, we conclude today's shiur.